Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I'm too busy to notice how busy I am. With the BlackBerry cell phone, home phone, Gmail, Google, it's becoming sort of overwhelming.
Something's happened to my brain. It's all dried up.
It's completely self-inflicted.
I'm Jim Burns. Even in spite of the recent challenges our economy has been facing, we live in one of the most affluent cultures in the world. There are so many good and helpful products and services on the market today, but it's hard to imagine anyone could possibly be dissatisfied with his or her life. However, as you know, there is a growing sense of dissatisfaction in our world today, and I'm convinced that at the heart of this disappointment is the fact that we simply have too many things cluttering up our lives and jamming up our schedules. Does that describe your situation right now? Well, if it does, I'm glad you tuned into Homeward today. My good friend Paul Borthwick is here with me in studio, and we're going to talk about some practical ways for creating a bit more margin in your busy schedule. Keys to simplifying your life is our topic today on Homeward, and it starts right now. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Have you downloaded the Azusa Pacific iPhone app yet? You can get it today on iTunes, and I guarantee you it will make your life simpler. It won't make it more complicated, which is our theme today here on the Homeward broadcast. We're going to be hearing a conversation between Dr. Jim Burns and author and speaker Paul Borthwick talking about keys to simplifying your life. So often the gadgetry that we have available to us here in the 21st century, it's supposed to make things easier. It winds up making things tougher. Well, if you're listening to us, especially on the podcast right now, you're going to hear some keys to simplifying your life. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A great day today. Actually, one of my best friends in studio today, his name is Dr. Paul Borthwick. We're talking about uncomplicating your life. How would you like to do that? Paul Borthwick is on staff with Development Associates International. It's a training organization dedicated to the character and ministry development of leaders in the under-resourced world. Paul is one of the authorities, in my humble opinion, on missions and on youth and on leadership. He's a popular speaker and noted author of 15 books, at last count anyway. Two of my favorite books are How to Be a World-Class Christian and Six Dangerous Questions to Transform Your View of the World. He's written another book called Simplify, 106 Ways to Uncomplicate Your Life, and that, of course, is what we're talking about today. He's married to Christy, wonderful woman, over 28 years. The Borthwicks make their home in Lexington, Massachusetts, near Boston. Paul, welcome to our program.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for welcoming me.
I love having you. We got to have breakfast together today, and it's always so great to catch up with you. You know, I read your book. You actually said that your book, Simplify, I think you told me that Bill Hybels said that it was good bathroom reading.
Good bathroom reading because it's done in a little bullet format of an idea here, an idea there that somebody can just pick up one and think about it for the day or maybe for the week.
That's great. But, you know, when we think about uncomplicating our life, that's everybody. It's the world today. It's definitely America families. You say that too many of us are suffering from what you call the cluttered life. And I want you to walk through the symptoms of the cluttered life.
Well, years ago, Alvin Toffler, in one of his books, predicted that we would have a world that he called the world of overchoice. And most of us have cluttered lives because we just have too many good things. I mean, there are too many choices at Starbucks. There are too many choices in the cereal aisle. There are too many choices on television. And not all of them are good versus bad. A lot of them are just good, but we're trying to take everything in at the same time.
You know, it's fascinating when you say that. I saw that, you know, Starbucks currently has over 19,000 different ways to have your coffee. I go into a Starbucks, I'm paralyzed because there is so many decisions. Kathy and I were talking about Christmas, and we said, you know, there were so many decisions back then, we didn't know what to go buy our kids, and it really is a problem. What leads us to pursue this cluttered life scenario besides overchoice?
Well, especially here in the United States, we just love our choices. We love to have our options. If you want to talk to a husband and wife about what causes tension, just ask them who controls the remote when they're watching TV. Because for whatever reason, us guys, we want to see everything else that's on. And then, you know, my wife will say to me, can't we just focus on one station? Yeah, but what else might be on?
Right.
And we love to have these choices, but sometimes our choices are killing us because you know, you start having a family and you have two or three people, all of whom want multiple choices, they're all going to go in 1,000 different directions, and you end up having more choices than there are hours in the day.
Yeah, no, and I think everybody's saying that. They want to uncomplicate their life. And I know that you talk about demotivators in our lives, overestimating, you know, pleasing, rescuing. Talk about these demotivators and how that affects our life.
Well, we overestimate because we want to add things to our lives without diminishing anything. So we add a commitment to this and a commitment to that. We join the club. We want to work out. We want to go to do something more at church. We want to be involved in it. And yet we all have 168 hours. You know, from the poorest person in the world to the president of the United States, we all have 168 hours. And you just can't keep adding without cutting back somewhere. And that's where the uncluttering comes in.
Talk to the person who says, yeah, but you don't understand my family. You know, we work 2.4 jobs. We've got 4.5 kids. I don't know how that works with kids. You know, we have dogs. We have life. We have mortgages. I'm looking at, what do I cut back? I honestly can't find something to cut back. I hear people say that, and yet I know that's kind of a sickness. I mean, what do you say to that person?
One of the principles in the book that comes out is to do what we call cut a fire break. When there's a big fire, they don't fight the fire at its core. They go ahead to where the fire's going, and they cut down the trees so there's nothing left to burn. And what I recommend to couples, for example, or parents of who are just looking at the overall schedule, is don't try to manage this week and just say it's overestimated, how can we get down? But look 3 months ahead and start cutting the fire breaks, because most of the time we're in a, when we say we're cluttered, we're in a state of momentum that we can't get out of right then. But it's easier if we look way ahead and say, okay, right now we've just got to fulfill this. It happens with my travel schedule. It happens with our commitments around holiday seasons. We find that we've got too many things, and you have to fulfill those things. But if you know that the time's coming for evaluation, then you have the ability to start saying, okay, we took on too much this year, next year we're going to do this.
Yeah, you really have to be rigid about making some of those cuts too. Too many of us are so overcommitted that we wind up trying to manage very complicated lives. However, by learning to simplify, we can enjoy a more fulfilling life. Paul Borthwick says that in his book, Simplify. We're talking with Paul today. One of the other ways to uncomplicate our lives, Paul, is you say, don't fit in. I thought that was a great section. What do you mean by not fitting in? So many of us want to fit in, especially kids.
Yeah, well, the culture that we live in is not going to help us unclutter our lives. The culture that we live in is governed by the monster that Bill Hybels called the monster called more. We want to add more to our schedule. We want to have more possessions. We want to have more software. We want to have more of this, more of that, more of everything else. And when I say don't fit in, I'm thinking in terms of a Christian perspective, especially, that we don't let the world squeeze us into its mold. So we're going to have to walk to the beat of the different drummer, to use that quote. And we're going to have to be able to say, I refuse to let the culture dictate my schedule.
You know, it's interesting you say that because, you know, you were involved in youth ministry for a long time at Grace Chapel in Boston, Massachusetts area, and I've been involved in youth ministry. And I would see a lot of parents say, I want my kids to have everything, and I want them to be Christ followers as well. And what you're kind of saying is you kind of can't do both.
Right. You can't. I was listening to a speaker the other day. He said, we need to develop a theology of limitation. Meaning that we have to understand that we can't possibly do it all. I was at a church one time, and I was talking with them, and they asked me to evaluate their church bulletin and their programs. And I said, your church is amazing. And they said, why? I said, well, because you're really trying to get people to, you know, identify with the character of God. And they were all feeling pretty happy about it. And they said, what do you mean by that? Well, I said, it's obvious by your schedule. You want people to be omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. And I said, but I got news for you. Only God can be those things. You can't be everywhere at the same time. And I really think that we need to sort of pause for a moment, catch our breath, and just say, in the time that I have, where do I need to focus? In the time that my family has, where can we focus? So to parents, I'm going to say to them, you know, do you want your kid to be a concert violinist, or do you want your kid to be a healthy social creature who's able to function in the schoolyard as well as in the community? because sometimes it's exclusive. Sometimes you can't push them to be perfect in every arena.
That's a great point. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. You know, if the devil can't make you bad, well, he'll make you busy. I've heard that over and over again in my life, and that is so true. We need to simplify. Uncomplicating Your Life is our topic today. Paul Borthwick is our guest. Roger's going to tell you about his book, Simplify, 106 Ways to Uncomplicate Your Life. I read it. I really like the book. Roger?
It's a very easy read. It's very well laid out, and Paul Borthwick does a good job of helping us to focus on the fact that too often in life, it's not so much that we have too much going on, it's just that it's not necessarily pursuing after the things God wants us to. And when we do simplify our lives, we do so by uncluttering the things that aren't really of God. And so today on the Homeward Broadcast, if you're a parent and you're feeling like your schedule's just too overcommitted and underconnected with your family, take a couple of steps back and take a look at everything that's going on in your life right now. You might want to take a look at Paul's book, Simplify. It's something that will really help you. It's a book that Dr. Jim Burns recommends. And we'll hear part two of Jim's conversation with Paul Borthwick on the other side of this break. You are listening to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns, available 24/7 online at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
So that's why we're all going to help out at the homeless shelter this Saturday morning.
Okay. Yeah. And then we're working the cake table at the Morgan's wedding reception that evening.
I thought Heather had a soccer game on Saturday.
Well, she does. We'll hit the field in between taking your grandmother out to breakfast and everything.
Dad? And don't forget your babysitting job for the new neighbors now.
And then next weekend.
Wait a minute. Do we get any time for ourselves in this schedule?
Like it or not, our schedules reveal our priorities. When we commit to involvement in good, God-honoring projects, we can do many great things for the kingdom, but we also run the risk of avoiding our kids in the process. When we, as parents, give our children time and attention, it means we're willing to listen to them, and listening is the language of love. Get a free copy of my tip sheet called 5 Tips for Helping Busy Parents Reprioritize Their Lives. You can download it from our website at homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. What a delight to have Dr. Paul Borthwick with us today. We're talking about uncomplicating your life. Some of us need to make some decisions today to uncomplicate our life down the road, as Paul was talking about. It is so critical. Over choices. Boy, do we have a lot of over choices. You know, in 1977, Dreyer's ice cream offered 34 flavors. You know how many today? Over 250. Whole Foods Market opened in 1974. They sold 2 different kinds of lettuce. 30 years later, they offer 40 different kinds of lettuce. Frito-Lay first entered the snack food market. Well, they offered 2 kinds of snacks, Lay's potato chips and Frito's corn chips. I still like both. Today, they offer 24 different kinds of Lay's and 60 different varieties of Fritos. It's over choice. We are living overcommitted, underconnected lives, and that's what we're talking about. How do we uncomplicate our life? Dr. Paul Borthwick's written a great book called Simplify, 106 Ways to Uncomplicate Your Life. Paul, before the break, we were talking about different ways we kind of uncomplicate our lives, and one of the ones that is interesting that you wrote about was how we have to take good care of ourselves physically. You know, this is a generation where we are more obese, we are more out of shape. And I think families that are overcommitted, underconnected, are bound to have even worse eating habits. I mean, they just go through the fast food place and they do it too often. Give us some help on that.
Well, you mentioned fast food. One of the most important things to remember is that when it's called fast food, they're telling you how quickly it is prepared. They're not telling you anything about its nutritional value.
Right.
And one of the things that I learned, and we talk about this in the book, that if your good health and your eating habits really helps diminish your stress. I found that sometimes when I'm really stressed about something, taking a good hefty walk can get some endorphins going. And I'm not a physical therapist, so I've just heard this word endorphins. But they get these, and it helps my attitude.
Right.
And yet, but if I follow the pattern of culture, which is oftentimes I assuage my stress by eating comfort food, I'm really discouraged about something with my family, or I'm discouraged about my workplace, so I sit down and I eat, you know, a pint of ice cream, which is not, I mean, it's even shown on TV as a way to deal with your stress, it actually has a negative impact.
Right, exactly. And so I think a lot of people just need to rethink the way that they actually consume food. Exercise, great illustration you have in your book about the benefits of exercising smart by starting small and being sensible. I laughed out loud because I know you so well that you tried to do 100 sit-ups a day. So the first day you did 100 sit-ups, but the next day it was a little tougher.
Well, I did 100 sit-ups. I hadn't done exercise in a long time, but I looked at my stomach, and just like a lot of guys, I was getting that midlife bulge sort of thing. And as the comedian Dave Barry says, I looked in the mirror and I said, "This is not my body. This is my father's body." You know, and so I started doing sit-ups because I thought that would tighten up my abs. You know, get those iron abs or whatever they're called. And so I did 100 in one sitting because I'm kind of an impulsive person. And the next day, I got the hiccups. And I had the hiccups for 4 days, 24/7. And I went to the emergency ward. And, you know, you're sitting in the emergency ward. What's wrong with you? I'm having a heart attack. What's wrong with you? You know, I broke my leg. What's wrong with you? I've got the hiccups. You know, and the people are like, you know, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I've had the hiccups for 4 consecutive days, 24 hours a day. They brought me right in. They gave me an EKG. They thought something was wrong with my heart. And then they said, no, Mr. Borthwick, the only thing we seem to have found is that there's a spasm in your muscle lining causing an air pocket. Do you have any idea what could have caused this? And I said, no, you know, because I wasn't going to tell them I had just been impulsive. But so that's why I tell people, if you haven't exercised at all, walking up 2 flights of stairs might be today's exercise.
Right. And you need a plan. You know, what I'm finding with so many people is they say, you know, I don't know that I can do it. Or they do exactly what you're saying. They work like crazy. They eat great for a couple of days. But what they really need is to develop a plan. As they develop a long-term plan, it's going to uncomplicate their already cluttered lives, and they're going to make some decisions. But you got to plan ahead.
But related to the planning also, what I've found is in more, you know, as I've gone from into my 30s, into my 40s, into 50s now, is that if I don't plan to exercise, I won't.
Yeah.
It doesn't come naturally. No. Young moms with kids at home, doesn't come naturally for them. You know, like guys who are traveling in their jobs, doesn't come naturally for them. You have to make a plan for it.
Right. You know, that makes so much sense. Interesting enough, because we're talking about some of the tough things. I mean, we're talking about discipline. You know, the Bible says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. I think Paul said that to Timothy. But one of the things that I really appreciated about in your message on simplifying and uncomplicating our life was you said, ever so often, you just need to have a feast. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's like in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time for fasting, a time for feasting. I think sometimes you need to celebrate. My wife and I are doing some weight loss, and as you get older, it's harder to lose. You know, it takes you like, you know, 6 months to lose a pound and an hour to gain it. And so, but we weighed in and both had lost like 5 pounds. So we had a nice dinner to celebrate it. I mean, it seems contradictory, but, you know, our life is more than just our body. There's also an emotional, motivational part of it. And so we celebrated it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And so what you're saying is work hard, but then at times celebrate.
And the same thing is true. Later on, we'll talk about money.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to be really tight with it, and other times you just need to reward yourself for being tight the other times.
Right. Well, let's talk about money. What do you mean? How do we, in a complicated world with lots of over choices, how do we handle money?
A number of years ago, there was a professor at one of the schools at Harvard University who was doing a study on why Americans work so hard. And she did that because she was comparing us against the Europeans who don't seem to work as many hours. Then she discovered, as she was doing this research, the reason why we work so hard is because we want to buy more stuff. And the reason we work so hard is because we overbuy. We live at 110% of our income. And then we have to work extra hours to pay for the extra pleasures. So it's really boils down to, if we're going to be disciplined about our money and uncomplicate our life, so we're not laying awake at night wondering how we're going to pay the bills, then we need to start thinking ahead in terms of disciplining our consumption habits too.
Mm. Boy, that makes so much sense. Not easy. You're pushing us today because you're asking us to actually make a plan and be disciplined with it. I find one of the best ways to do that is not just try to do it on our own. Even, I don't care if it was weight loss or dealing with kid issues or whatever, but actually in an accountability kind of relationship, have someone walk with you through that process.
Well, some of the ideas in this book came from groups of us sitting together, sharing ideas on how to cut back, how to, not necessarily how to multitask. This is not about just getting more done in less time, because that actually can cause a lot of stress, but more about things, giving each other the freedom to say, you know, you can say no to that. or, you know, we've lived all these years without, you know, a liquid screen TV or whatever, plasma TV. You know, we've lived all these years, and somehow our family's making it.
Yeah, no, that's great input in your book, and we don't have much time left, but you said for most of us, the problem is not making choices. The problem is underestimating the impact of those choices. Talk about that.
We talk about making an environmental impact statement. You know, for example, let's use the illustration I just gave about the liquid crystal televisions, the plasma TVs. Well, we want to buy that without thinking through the implications of where is it going to go? And what else has to move out? Is it going to make the room less cluttered? And so we think about when you're doing an environmental impact, what you're asking is, if I say yes to this commitment, where am I going to find the time to prepare, to go, to make for travel? You know, what about traffic? If I decide I'm going to buy this car, what's the impact in terms of insurance? What's the impact in terms of, you know, excise tax if you live in Massachusetts where I live? You know, without... Sometimes we just buy things on impulse without thinking longer term in terms of the sort of unintended consequences of the choices that we made.
Great, great input. Paul Borthwick with us. You've got to come back. We got to keep talking about this.
Great, Jim. See you soon.
Well, what a privilege to have my good friend Paul Borthwick with us, uncomplicating your life. You know, you've heard me talk about this before, but I think we live in crisis mode living way too often, and we kind of do the plate spin. We spin the plate of our marriage, we spin the plate of our kids, we spin the plate of our work, you know, school, and all the other issues, and all of a sudden we look up and we look at that God plate, and we say, boy, we need some spinning time there, so we go pay a little bit of attention. Maybe we go to church or go to an extra worship service. We spend a little bit more time with our spouse, but then pretty much the time and energy seems to be our kids and money and problems. And next thing we know, we're living in crisis mode. We're just too busy. We said at the beginning of this program, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Perhaps we need to make some tough decisions. Two words, eliminate and concentrate. I think it's so important for us to take a look at our life. And maybe you're going to have to do this with your spouse, and you're going to sit down over a Starbucks or something. Don't do it when there's tension, and simply say, what can we eliminate and what can we concentrate on? And if we can eliminate some things and we can concentrate on some other better things, then life is going to get easier. But if not, if we just keep doing this, it's kind of like the person who talks about the definition of insanity, saying doing the same thing over and over again and hoping for something different to happen. It's not going to happen. Today, we're pushing a little bit. But to uncomplicate your life, you've got to make some tough decisions. And by the way, the book Simplify, 106 Ways to Uncomplicate Your Life by Paul Borthwick can help you do just that.
And that's what we're all looking for, isn't it? At the end of the day, I don't think any of us is necessarily looking to have a completely empty schedule, a to-do list that's got nothing on it. But it's just a matter of how do we organize it better? How do we unclutter and get rid of the things that we don't need and focus on the things that we do? And today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, we've been talking about keys to simplifying your life. If you missed any part of this program, remember we are streaming audio and it's all archived at homeward.com. You can also podcast along with us. Hit the podcast button at homeward.com. It'll take you right to our site on iTunes. And you can podcast, audio streams, archives, all available without cost. Jim, this is important for families because we're pushing so hard, and yet families are really starting to feel the pressure here.
Well, in a big way. I think families are so busy doing quote-unquote important things that they're missing out on some very special things. You know, there was a fascinating study that just came out that said many families are even cutting back on their attendance in church to do other activities. You know, they're telling their kids, don't go to youth group, don't go to the children's program because we're too busy. And these are the same families that don't have enough time in their schedule to have dinner and other types of things. It's just simply not healthy. Now, if you're feeling overcommitted, you're probably underconnected with the special relationships in your life, maybe even the relationship that you have with God. That's why I think a book like Devotions on the Run can be a big help for you. Maybe as you heard this conversation today about simplifying, you said, you know what, I need to take some things off, but maybe I need to put something on in priorities, and that's, you know, some time with God.
Yeah, keep first things first. It's very important for us to do. And yet, Jim, as you mentioned, the reason that Devotions on the Run has become such a popular devotional book with so many Homeward supporters and listeners is just the very fact that it's laid out in such a way, like our daily online devotionals, it's laid out in such a way that it won't take a lot of time, but it will have maximum impact. If you'd like to order a copy of Dr. Jim Burns' book, Devotions on the Run, you can do so when you go through our Homeward Online Resource Center at homeward.com. Remember that any book that you purchase that is written by Jim Burns, if you purchase it through the Homeward Online Resource Center, a portion of the proceeds does go to support the ministry of Homeward, and we truly appreciate that. You can also subscribe to our free daily online devotional. We call it our Evotional, a Bible verse and a nugget of encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the staff at Homeward. You can sign up for that absolutely free and take care of that as well when you go to homeword.com. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.